Greetings, my name is Yitzhak Yat Shalom, and it is with great excitement that we begin the study of a new Masechet here in our Daf Yomi podcast at dafyomiyik.org. We're beginning Masechet Sotah, and as a very quick introduction to Masechet Sotah, all of the material that is needed from the text is found on the first page of the handout, which includes the entire Parsha of Sotah, which is found in Bamidbar He, Yod Aleph through Lamed Aleph inclusive, and an outline of the topics in the Mishnayot that are covered in the Masechet. Masechet Sotah, just as a brief introduction, is different in marked ways from Nazir and Nidarim that we've been dealing with on the one hand, and Ketubot and Yevamot that we studied earlier in Seder Nashim. The location of Sotah in the canon after Nazir is dealt with in the very first passage of the Gemara, which is often the case, and we will deal with that then. But the nature of the Masechet, first of all, as opposed to Darim and Nazir, we now are on much surer footing in looking at the commentary of Rashi, which, as we know, in Darim was some student of Rashi, and in Nazir was a suspect text. That's first of all. We have the traditional commentaries on Sotah, Rashi, Tosfot. However, since Masechet Sotah chiefly deals with things that are not practical, there is no commentary of the Rif or the Rosh, at least not in the Halachot format that we were accustomed to in Yevamot and Ketubot. Also, as far as the nature of the material, Masechet Sotah is presented in purely formal and theoretical terms. There are no mentions in the Masechet of a particular woman who was a Sotah and this happened, unlike what we had in Nazir, and certainly lots of in Nedarim, and tons of in Yevamot and Ketubot, of cases that were brought to demonstrate that the halacha follows one position, or follows another position, or nuances of halacha were decided a certain way, that we don't have here. Another point of it is that even the Tanaitic literature in Masechet Sotah, notably the Mishnah and the Tosefta, have long agadic tangents. And as a result of that, the Gemara also has much, much Haggadah. We will see that the page length, as it were, of the text is much longer on the average in Masechet Sotah than it is, shall we say, in Nazir, in Nedarim, in Ketuvot, in Yevamot, which most of the pages are halachic, and as a result, there is plenty of commentary, and the page itself is minimal in text, which means that the podcasts here will likely be a bit longer than usual, and some of the agadot we will focus on, and some of them that are more tangential and less central to the topic, we will go through rather quickly. Okay, let's get into the topic. Again, a quick introduction to the process of Sotah is that in order for a woman to be considered formally a Sotah who needs to be brought to the Mikdash to drink the Mayim Hamarim, there has to be, the process has to be preceded by a formal warning on the part of the husband relative to the suspected adulterer with whom that she is having the dalliance. That is called kinui. Besides that, there is also a need for testimony that she has become secluded, been secluded, or putative paramour, for a significant enough period that something could happen, and then the sota issue kicks in. If, on the other hand, subsequent to kinui, that's the warning, and stira, that's the seclusion, there also is any testimony to the affair, she's no longer a sota, she's in a mena efet, she is divorced, because there's only one witness to the fact, there are no consequences in a corporal or capital sense, but everything is over. The goal here, of course, is, whenever possible, for the doubt to be erased by via the woman coming to the mikdash, be able to drink the water, come out clean, etc., and we will see all of those details in the first few prakim of Sota. Amakane l'ishto, if someone warns his wife, Rabbi Eliezer omer makane la al pishnaim, you need two witnesses for the kinui, umashkah al pidechad o al piatzmo. He says, but you can force her to drink if you have only one witness or yourself that testifies that she was secluded. Rabbi Yeshua omer secluded with the man. Yeshua omer makane la al pishnaim, mashkah al pishnaim. Yeshua disagrees with his colleague and says you need two witnesses for both steps. Now it's the second Mishnah, which is why on the handout it's at the bottom. Ketzad makane la. What's the formula? Omer la bifnei shnaim al tadabri mish ploni, if he says in front of two people. that you may not talk to this particular man. Vidibraimo, and she ended up talking with him. Adayin hi muteret leveita, muteret lechol bitruma. And no consequences. She may resume relations with her husband. She may continue to eat truma if he's a kohen. However, nichnas, which, by the way, is problematic because it indicates that the phrase tedabri is dibra is just really talking about speech, and there's nothing to that warning. Nichnasa imo leveita seter, but if she went into a secluded place with the fellow, v'shata imo kedei tuma, and she was there long enough for tuma, and we'll see a long discussion about how long that is. Asura leveita v'asura lechol b'truma. Then she's not allowed to be with her husband. If he's a kohen, she's not allowed to eat truma, and she's on the sota path, as it were. Which, of course, is problematic, because if all he said was don't speak to him and she was secluded, that's not what he warned her about. So we have to work that out, and that will be later on, not in this podcast. The final point is that if a woman who is a sota becomes widowed without children, or the husband didn't have children, then there is no yibum, there's only chalitza, and we will discuss that later on. Okay, the first question of the Gemara is location. Mech de tani min nazir salik, since the Tana just finished teaching Nazir, my Tana, the Katana Sota, why does the Tana now pick up with Sota? Why is Sota after Nazir? They're not wondering why Sota is in Seder Nashim, where else would you put it? But why is it after Nazir? The answer is Kidi Rabbi, it follows Rabbi's Drasha, the Tani Rabbi Omer, Lama Nismacha Parshat Nazir, the Parshat Sota. Rebbe's commenting on the juxtaposition in the Torah of Parsha Nazir, which follows immediately after Sota, opposite order. If somebody sees a Sota being disgraced because of her licentious behavior, he should take on himself a vow of abstention from wine. He should become a Nazir. In other words, he should see the consequences of loose behavior and restrict himself even further. Now, Valini Sota Vaharalini knows if that's the case, Sota should come first. So the answer is because that's the order and it's also the reaction. You see a Sota become a Nazir. So the answer is Aidi Ditana Ktubot Vitana Hamadir Tana Nidorim. The answer is that we go all the way back to Ktubot. And the seventh parak of Ktubot is Hamadir. And it talks about circumstances where a man administers an oath to his wife regarding his wife. So therefore, Tana Nidorim. Therefore, the next Masechet is Nidorim. It's something we're here in the middle of talking Nidorim. We finish Ktubot, we'll do Nidorim. So after Nadarim comes Nazir, which is similar to Nadarim, it's a subset. Uktani Sota Kedar Rabbi, and then once we've done that, we have Sota, which follows Rabbi's thinking about the juxtaposition. Now, the Mishnah, the first word in the Mishnah was Hamakane. The read of that is the Avad in Lachatchilalo. Hamakane meaning if he issued the warning. Meaning, if he did it, but ideally he shouldn't do it. So, kasara tana didana sur lekanot. Our tana must hold that you're not allowed to. It's not a good thing to be mekane, it's a bad thing. We will see a machloket in this, but our tana must hold it's a bad thing, and that's why he says, if you do it, it has to be done with tubin. You shouldn't do it. Now, parenthetically, Meshmuel Bar Yitzchak, Yehali Patach Rishlokish Besota, when Rishlokish would start teaching Sota, Amar Hachi, he would introduce it with the following aphorism. Ein mezavgin l'adam isha, elafimasav. A person is only given a wife based on his own behavior. In other words, she's ra'ui to him, which means, by the way, if a man suddenly feels like his wife is suspected, he better think about his own behavior. Shinemar, what's the proof text? Ki lo yanoch shevet haresh ha'gwalat tzadikim. In Tehilim Kuf Chaf Hei, the scepter of the evil ones will not rest in the inheritance of the tzaddikim. But the idea is a rasha will not end up bearing a tzaddik. A person is matched with the person who is fitting for his behavior. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'kashin lezavgan ki kriyat yam suf." It's hard to bring them together, harder than kriyat yam suf. Not that kriyat yam suf was hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the notion of being able to change all of nature, it's even harder to bring people together. Shenemar, another pasuk in Tehillim is Hamachet. Elohim Moshiv Yechidim Baita. God brings individuals into a house. The idea was marriage. Motzi Asirim HaKosharot, and takes prisoners out. But Kosharot, the drasha on that is in a time that's kosher. And the famous drasha, which he took them out in Nisan, not too hot, not too cold. Good. So Motzi Asirim HaKosharot was done with Kriyat Yam Suf. And Moshiv Yechidim Baita is listed with that. In other words, putting people together in marriage is listed with that. And it's put first, so it's not harder. Is that really true? Aini v'hamar av Yehuna marav, arba'im yom kodem mitzirat avlad, bat kol yotzeid v'omer, bat ponu v'poni, bet ponu v'poni, ste ponu v'poni. 40 days before a person is created, Heavenly voice comes out and gives you a destiny. You're going to marry this girl, and you're going to have this house, and you're going to have this field. Your whole life is dictated for you. So, Lokasha, Habazug Rishon, Habazug Sheni. So the way that they settle that is to say that statement about predestined matches is regarding your Zug Rishon. Now, does Zug Rishon mean your first wife, or does it mean the first girl that you're introduced to? That's what the Meiri seems to say. And Habazug Sheni, afterwards, when you marry somebody, that person is it's already out of the predestination mode, and therefore it is according to your own behavior. Okay, back to our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Mekanel, Alpishnaim, etc. Ad, Kanel, Pligi, Elo, Bekinu, Stira. The Machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rishua is about Kinu and Stira, really about Stira. Rabbi Eliezer says you yourself can testify, or one witness, and Rabbi Shua says you need two. But if we have testimony that she actually had an affair, then one witness is believed. It's not Namin. We have a Mishnah later on in the Masachet. If one witness comes and says about the Sota, in the middle of the process, before she drinks, says, I was there and I saw that she was engaged in coitus with him, then we don't have her drink at all, which means we believe the one witness. So you brought me two, one inference and one clear Mishnah, that one witness is enough, but what's the source in the Torah that we believe one aid? The Tanu Rabbanan is following Braita. If you take a look at this Pasuk, the Torah says that if a man suspects his wife, and she is in seclusion, and there's nobody to testify about her. Now, what does that mean? The Braita says, Eid Einba means there aren't two. Because the word aid, which is singular, means two. How do we get that? We'll see in a minute. Maybe that means Eid Einba, there is nobody at all. That's why the Torah says, one witness cannot stand up against a person. This is a very central pasuk in the whole juridical procedure in Parshat Shoftim. It says, "Lo yakum ed echad beish lechol avon lechol chatat al pishnayim edim yakum davar." So now, imach v'shnem lo yakum ed beish. The Torah didn't have to say a number. The fact the Torah said that a witness in the singular cannot stand up. Any of the Yeshua Chad, I know that's one. Matzav Olam Rachad, why does the Torah have to say one? Zebana, this is a binyana, meaning establishing a norm. Kol makom shenamar eid. Anytime the Torah says the word eid, harekan shnayim, it means two. That's why the Torah said, lo yakum eid echad. Ad shifar l'chakatuv echad, until the Torah goes out of its way to say one witness. And like here, lo yakum eid echad b'ish. So what did the Torah say? Eid ein ba, meaning there aren't two. Elachad, there's only one witness. What's the reason? Then what's the reality? Vihilonit pasa, that if he testifies that she was not coerced, then asura, she's prohibited. In other words, the rest of the pasuk says eid ein ba vihilonit pasa. How do we know hilonit pasa? How do we know she wasn't coerced and that she had relations? Because somebody's telling us that I saw it and it was consensual, right? So therefore, she's asura. Now, that's our source for saying that one witness to Tuma is enough. That's, of course, with all of the build-up of Kinu and Stira. But you're only saying it because you have the Pasuk in Dvarim, like Kinu and Beish. Halavach, if you didn't have the Pasuk, what would I do with Eid Einba? I mean, Eid is Sotachadu, I would think that the word Eid really means just one. Vefilu Chadleika, so Eid Einba means there's nobody there. What would make her usher if nobody knows about it? So I do need Eid Echad, because Sakadai Tachamein, I would have thought Eid Ein Ba means Ein Neman Ba. One witness is not believed. So Ein Neman Ba? Vela my boy, so what's he doing? Adiika Tre, Lishtok Kramine, Da'atyudavadav Mamon. Vandana, me did Haviakoli do it Shibatora. We'll go over that again. It's a central line. So Ve'ela my boy, so what are you trying to impart? Adi katrei, that you need two witnesses? So lishto, meaning one witness is not believed? So lishto kramine, let the text say nothing, because then I will have the famous gzeirah shava of dover dover. What's dover dover? I didn't put it on the page, but one of them, lo yakum eid echad l'chol al-pishnam eidim yakum davar, al-pishnam eidim yakum davar, and the other pasuk is ki matzava ervat davar in Dvarim Chavdal al-Alef. And therefore, we say every Dover Shabarva needs two. Dover Dover. And then I'll know it's like a regular testimony, you need two. So the Torah doesn't have to say, it ain't by to tell me one guy isn't believed. It's not true. It's tariq. I still need it. I would think that sota is unique to Raglayim Ladavar because I have a basis for this. And Raglayim Ladavar is something, of course, we dealt with a lot at the very end of Nazir. He warned her. Vinistara, she ended up in seclusion with the guy. So we have lots of reason to think that lidhamin ba'idachad, that one witness should be believed. So maybe the Torah is saying, it ain't by to tell me that one witness is not believed. How can you possibly interpret that ein neman ba, which of course means we don't believe, and that means she's not affected, she's still mutar. If the text testifies that she wasn't coerced, obviously that means if she wasn't coerced, what's the difference between being coerced or not, is that she'd be asura. So how can you say it means you don't believe her? The answer is, it's tarich sakot al chamena ein neman ba adika tre. Maybe ein ba means we don't believe one until we have two. Even when you have two, they can't just testify to the act, they have to also testify to the intent. And that is that she wasn't coerced. So, kamashmala, and that's why I need the pasuk in Dvarim, layakum eid achad bi'ish, to tell me that the word eid always means two unless it says achad, like there. And therefore it says eid einba means, in our context of sota, there aren't two, but there's one. And so if that one can testify, then she's asura. Okay, back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, if you recall, disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer and says you need two witnesses for both kinu and stira. Rabbi Yeshua, etc. My time, Rabbi Yeshua, what's Rabbi Yeshua's reasoning? Amakra, ba. Now, ba is ve'ein ein ba, which we said you only need one. Ba, velo b'kinui, ba velo b'stira, meaning one witness is enough for tuma, but not for the other processes. Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the notion of using ba. He says, ba v'lo b'kinui. Ba is only to knock out kinui. Kinui needs two. Ve'emer ba v'lo b'stira. Why don't you go the whole way and say ba v'lo b'stira? The answer is stira itkash l'tuma. Stira is compared in the text to tuma itself. Stira being in seclusion and tuma being actually having the relations. Dichti v'nistira v'initmai. Say those two words are together. So kinu inami itkash l'tuma, but why are you picking stira? After all, kinu is also next to tuma nichtiv. V'kineiat yishtova he nitma. If a man warns his wife and indeed she's nitma, so hamei rachman abba. The answer is the Torah excluded one witness from being acceptable by saying ba. It's only here that one witness is enough, which means you have an exclusion and an inclusion. Umar ra'ita. So why do you decide to include stira and exclude kinui? Mistabra stira difer. It makes sense that stira is a better one to include. And say you only need one. She can also talk to tuma. Because after all, if there's stira, right now she's banned to her husband. When the husband warns her, she's not banned to him. But after the stira, she is. Adrava, kinui adifa. You can argue the opposite. You can say kinui is a stronger thing. She can ika garamla. Without that, none of this starts. So, ilav stira kinui miika. So the answer is, without stira, the kinui is not meaningful. And there's another way to read that, which is, if it weren't for the fact that there was originally a stira, then he wouldn't be warning her. Vilav kinui stira mayahani. And without kinui, the stira is not meaningful either. Which means, seems like a coin flip. So, filuachi stira difa. No, it's not a coin flip, because stira is stronger. Da'atchalta de tumahi. That's the beginning of the process. It's on the same continuum. The first go into seclusion, and then the next thing happens, and then there's tuma. Okay, so we now understand why Rabbi Eliezer, if he had to choose between making kinui similar to tuma or stira similar to tuma, he'd pick that stira is closer to tuma, and therefore, just like tuma, one witness is enough, stira one witness is enough, kinui is still untouched. However, we heard Rabbi Eliezer's opinion according to Tanakama. But our Mishnah does not accord with the approach of this Tana. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi Berebi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Oh, so this colleague of Rebbe quotes Rebbe Eliezer as saying, he has it flipped. He says that Rebbe Eliezer said is that the kinui can happen by yourself or one witness, but the stira has to be based on two witnesses. The exact flip of Rebbe Eliezer in our Mishnah. So Yeshivu Chachamim, so the Chachamim responded, the Divra Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda in the Devar Sof. In Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's presentation, there's no end to the possibilities here, meaning this is not a good thing. Meaning this could happen any time. We'll see why in a minute. So now let's see what's going on, and we'll analyze that last sentence. My time, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda think that Rabbi Eliezer says that kinui is on your own? Amakra, ba, ba v'lo b'stira. So we take the same pasuk and flip it inside out. He says, ein ein ba, ba v'lo b'stira, meaning stira needs two. Why don't I say kinui also needs two? So kinu itkash l'tumah, because kinu is compared to tumah, and again the same pasuk d'chtiv kinet yishtov initma. Astir nam itkash l'tumah. Astir is also compared to tumah d'chtiv inistrav initma. So ahu l'chamashir stira kadei tumah hudaata. He says no, that pasuk is not coming to compare stira to tumah, but to tell me what's the shear of stira kadei tumah. How long do they have to be in seclusion for it to become a problem? Long enough for tumah, and how long is that? We have a whole series of suggestions in a couple blot. Okay, now Heshiva Chacham, back in that bright to, he said the Divrei Rabbi Yosef Yehuda in the Devar Sof. Meinihu, what do they mean? The Zimnin de Lokani, sometimes it'll happen that the guy did not make any warning, but since, according to his opinion, you can warn alone, and she'll be in Stira, and then Vyamar Kanoi, and then he'll say, oh yeah, last week I warned her. So Halam Mishtatin Yishtat Devar Sof, but wait, you have the same problem in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. All he has to do is warn in front of two people and then make up a story that she hid. Same problem. So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef ben Yochanan fix it as follows. Afu divrei Yosef Yehuda, end of our sof. He says, even according to Yosef Yehuda, there's no end to it. Afu divrei Yosef Yehuda, v'loin bayi l'mishtatenu, I mean, our Mishnah is certainly endless problems. Afu mishtatenu ike ikar. In our Mishnah, at least, you have to formally get two witnesses together for kinui. Hatam like Iker, but there, the minute she's alone, you two witnesses see she's alone with somebody, all I have to do is just make up a story that you warned her. Elit mar hachit mar, this is how it should read. I mean, it's like bar Yosef Yochanan, the divrei Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, ve'af the mishtatenu in the Rav Sof, meaning, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and even according to Mishnah, it is endless, meaning that there could be, there's just an open end here that has to be taken care of. Right, and that's what it means. So now, as a note, Rav Chanina Mesura, lo leima inish le'itate bizman hazeh. Bizman hazeh meaning, with no beit hamikdash, a man should not say to his wife, lo tistri bahari ploni. Don't say to her, don't be alone with this guy. Why? Dilma kamen k'Rav Yosef Yehuda, because maybe we hold, like Rav Yosef Yehuda, that kinui alone is, the markinu al piatzmo, that you do kinui by yourself, which means you just did a kinui. O mistatra, and maybe it'll happen that she is alone with the guy and you have witnesses. V'lei ka'ina meisot le'mivdekan. There's no more meisot, there's no beit hamikdash. And then she's also to you forever, and you have to divorce her. So don't do that. Now, Amar Reish Lakish, again, we're sort of doing introductory things here about the sota. Malashon kinui. Why do the rabbis use the word kinui? And why does the Torah use the word vikine? Davramatil kina beina levein acherim. He says, why is it kinui? Because it creates enmity between her and her friends. Why? Alma kasavar kinu al piatzmo. He must hold like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that the kinu is done privately. So what happens is he privately tells her, don't be with anybody else. Don't be with that, and alone with that guy. And nobody else knows about it. Koli amal yadi dekanila. Nobody else knows. For amri mai dekama dekabadla. And they start saying, why is she being so aloof? She's afraid to walk anywhere because, you know, you have witnesses that she was alone. She's going to be in trouble. And they won't know why. And she's embarrassed to say so. So they're going to start mistreating her. And therefore, the kinu is between her and others. So quoting Abai, he said, you know what the kinu is? It's something that creates enmity between her and him. So Alma Kasavra Kinu al Pishnaim Eidim. So obviously the Kinu is public. Everybody knows that he's done that. So he has created the Kinui against her because he has, in front of other people, made this warning, and it's a very unpleasant thing. So both of them, though, by the way, see the process of Sota as essentially a negative process that a person should not do. If that's how they feel, is the process to take. Alma kasavri do asur lekanot. So obviously both Reish Lakish and Abaye hold it's asur. Mandam amutal lekanot, but as I said in the first amud, we know that there's an opinion out there that says that it's okay to do kinui. Maulashon kinui. So how are they going to interpret it? It can't be about kina, because that's always a bad thing. Achmar Yitzchak en kinui alashon hatra'a. Kinui is also a word of warning. Phrase of warning. God warned his land. So that's a positive thing. Obviously, the whole context is negative, but it's a positive thing given that context. Tanya, Hayara Meir Omer. Meir made the following observation about Sota, or from Sota. Adam, Over Avera B'Seter. If a person sins privately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machriz Alav B'Golui. God announces it publicly. Shinemar Avar Alav Ruach Kina. Here the woman sinned privately, and now, this take on it, or Meir's take, is that Kina is a very positive thing, and it's only like a holy thing. and he becomes filled with this jealousy. Ve'ena vira l'shon hachraza, but avar, we're interpreting now as a public announcement. Shenemar, it's Moshe, v'aviru kol b'machaneh. This is at the end of the collection for the Mishkan. They made a big announcement, v'aviru kol b'machaneh, in the camp, not to bring any more stuff. Reshlakish shemar, ein adam vira vira l'imkei nechnas b'ruach shtut. Shlokish says that a person only sins if they have ruach shtut, which levity, silliness, maybe even something worse than that. Shenamar ish ish ki tiste ishto, if a man's wife strays, tishtektiv. But if you look at it and just read the sin as a shin, it's tishtef. A woman becomes silly and does this, which means that committing adultery is a fundamentally silly thing that's brought out of lightheadedness. Now we'll stop at this point, even though we're in the middle of a discussion, because it goes for quite a ways. And we'll pick up Amir Sashem in the next podcast. Everybody should have a wonderful day.